Okay, Rabbi, today's daf is daf Chaf. We are in the final daf of the famous sugya of Rabbi Chanina's Gana Kehanim that focuses on Tumah v'Tahara. Tomorrow, Mietzshem, we're going to start a brand new perek Kol Sha'a. Where are we today? Chaf Amud Aleph, second line from the top, where the Gemara begins v'habosar tameh. Now this is a reference to the Mishnah that we already learned yesterday. If you go back to Yud Tes Amud Aleph, the last four lines on the Amud, that was a Mishnah that we quoted from Masechtas Idias, which if you go back to Idias, you'll see that was also among the declarations and the edus, the attestations, if you will, that was given by none other than Reb Chanina Sgan HaKehan. What was the story? If you look back again, Yud Tes Amud Aleph, four lines from the bottom, Tanan Hosam, which says in the Mishnah, Al Machat Shenimtis Bebosar. The Shoich had just finished shechting the carbon in the Beis Hamikdash, and they are now beginning to strip the hide from the carbon. They're beginning to get ready to take out the Emurin, the Chalovim from the carbon, and as they are dissecting the carbon, they notice that there's a Machat. Machat is a needle. Shenimtzis bebosar, that was lodged in the flesh of the animal. Rashi here on Chof Amar Aleph says it was in or near the base hashchita, where they shechted the animal. Okay, so what's the din? Sakin, the machat, it was nimtzis bebosar, we learned already yesterday, was sofik tamei. Sofik tamei. As a result, the sakin and yudayim, the sakin means, of course, the chalav that was used to go and shecht, or perhaps it means a regular knife that's being used to dissect and cut up the animal. By yudayim and the yudayim of the person who is busy with either the shechita or in the cutting up of the animal, those are tahoiros. And we discussed that yesterday in some detail. In fact, if you remember in the bottom line, Rabbi Akiva exclaimed with wonderment and with amazement, and he said, "Ah, zachino she'ein tumas yadayim b'mikdash baruch Hashem." Although the Chachamim made a special takana that stam yadayim are tameois, baruch Hashem, in the mikdash we have an exempt zone where this halacha does not apply. Anyway, the focus now is on the habasar tamei, that the basar of the carbon became tamei. And ask the Gemara now on Chof Amud Aleph. As we know very well, any time you want an ochel to become susceptible to tumah, you have to be machshir it. How are you machshir the basar? By pouring on it one of seven mashkois. Yad Shochat Dam is the mnemonic that you're all familiar with. And the main one, of course, is mayim, but any one of six other beverages or liquids that spill on it, and it was leratzayim, it causes the food item to become mukhshir lekabel tumah. The Gemara asks, the basar of the kodshim, how did it become mukhshir lekabel tumah? Is Zokti Gemara, second line, chofa medalav abasar tumay, hay basar diskasher bimayim. How did this basar become mukhshir lekabel tumah? Oh, I have a very easy answer. Because when it was geshochten, obviously there was tons of blood, dam and nefesh, that was spurting out. Some of that dam spurted out onto the behemoth itself, onto the basar. So very simple. Since dam is one of the seven mashkois, automatically it became mukhshir lekabel tumah. Says Yimor, no, that's not the right answer. Because how do I know the dam and nefesh is not machshir? And it says in the pasuk, "Lo yisich lenu al oretz tishbuchenu kamoyim." This is a pasuk that is referring to eating dam, and the pasuk says, "No, don't eat the dam. Lo yisich lenu. Don't eat it. Al oretz tishbuchenu kamoyim. You have to just pour it down the drain, just like water." So darshin gemara, dam shenishbuch kamoyim machshir. If it's a water equivalent, in the sense that just like water you pour down the drain, you pour out the blood down the drain, that's machshir. That's referring to dam of a chulin animal, What do you do with the dam of a chulin animal? Nothing. You just pour it out. You're not allowed to eat it. There is no din of kisi hadam by behema, only by oif and by chaya. You don't go and bring it in the mizbeach, in the bis migdish, because it's chulin. So you just pour it out. Dam shenish b'chamayim machshir, v'she'en nish b'chamayim. However, dam, which you cannot just pour out into a drain, because you need it. Which dam is that? That's dam hanefesh. You need that to go and spritz, to sprinkle it on the mizbeach. Einoy machshir. It is not machshir the kabel tum. Sehr gut. So bottom line is, it's not the dam hanefesh that's machshir. So what was machshir this behema to go and be mekabel tum? That is the buster of the korban. What was machshir? So you might be saying to yourself, okay, not the dam nefesh, but maybe the dam tamtzis. Dam tamtzis is that remaining blood. Because after all, that you don't go and sprinkle on the mizbeach. But you remember that we learned just a couple of days ago on Test Zayin Amud Beis at the very top of the Amud, where the Gemara says that dam tamtzis, although it's nishbach kamayim, it's still not machshir. Why not? Limor brought a pasuk, Rak chazak levilti achoil adam ki adam hu anofesh. Da'ash limor, dam shenefesh yoitzeboy kori dam. Dam shenefesh yoitzeboy einu kori dam. The dam of dam atamtis is not even called dam for purposes of being machshir lekabel tuma. The reason is because by dam it says in the pasuk, dam chalolim yishte. And dam chalol mishte is only by a dam cholol. That's the dam, the nefesh, where the chol nebuch, the person, passes away. Anyway, bottom line is, it's not the dam. So now the question is, what machshir the baser to mekabel tuma? Zokti mo'el diskashir bin mashki beis mit b'chaya. It probably becomes mukshir with a mashki beis mit b'chaya. Remember, we've had this beis mit b'chaya now a number of times over the last few days. We had a machloikis, according to Rav and to Levi, whether it's mit b'chaya. But according to our Girsa now, mashki beis mit b'chaya means the mashkois in the beis hamit b'chaya. Mit b'chaya, if you will, was the butchery. That's where they took the behema after the shechita, and they went and cut it up. They took out the, first of all, they had to be boiding it to make sure it wasn't the treifa. They took out the chalovim and they put it on the mizbeach. If it was an oila, they had to go and take every one of the pieces, v'nitach oisal in socher, and they put the hekter chalovim v'eivarim on the mizbeach. Anyway, when they were doing that in the beis mitbachayim, they had a large supply of water, and they used that water to go and cleanse, especially the innards of the carbon, to go and rid the carbon of the excrement, of the tsoya. So there was water that got poured onto the baser. So that probably was machshirit. Says Yimor, no, wrong. From Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina, mashki beis mitbachayim, lo yidayin sheim dochein. Remember, we had Rabbi Yosi ben Yoezer ish tzereda that said mashki beis mitbachayim are dochein. Dochein from lashon of pure. Pure meaning that they are not mitame. According to Rav, they don't even get tumah themselves. We had the whole machloikis Rav and Shmuel. Anyway, so lo yidayin shein dochein, not only are they not mitame, ela shein machshirim. The water of the basement b'chayim, not only if it were to become tame by touching a sheretz or an avela, is not mitame, it's not even machshir. Nu oy bazoy, if it can't be machshir, again, we're back to square one. How did the basar of this carbon get tame, after all, to be vulnerable and susceptible to tuma? You have to have a machshir. The elo diskashe b'chidvas hakodesh. What means b'chidvas hakodesh? B'chidvas hakodesh is a special din that anything that comes into the Azor, into the Beis HaMikdash, since we are bringing it for a korban to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, it gets as a chiba yaseira, a special love from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore that special love gives it a din that it's elevated so that it can go and receive tumah even without a hechsher. And that's the lashon of the Gemara, the Chibas HaKodesh Machsherotza. It's not literal that the chibas hakodesh is the machshir. The machshir has to be a liquid, but it's meant in a somewhat poetic form that since it's chibas hakodesh in the base of English, that in itself gives it the hechsher, so it can be mekabel tuma. If you remember, we had the same svara a couple of days ago. There it was even more of a chidush, because the Gemara said, according to one man, the Yomar, that chibas hakodesh is machshir, that even things which are inedible, which you cannot eat, such as gecholim, kol, ketores, levoina, all different types of incense, these are not edible. The Torah says, "Kol oichel asher ye ochel, chol mashke asher ye shase." Kecholim and ketores and levoina don't fit into those parshiyos. They're not oichel, they're not mashke, they're not kelim. But nevertheless, the chibas hakodesh makes them, gives them the halachic status of oichlin that can be makabel tuma even without a hechsher. So if that's the case, that must be the halach over here, that the basar is tameh because of chibas hakodesh. So the Gemara says that's a good teretz, except I have one problem. Chibas hakodesh is enough to make it a psul haguf. Psul haguf means that it's posel, that the tumah should stop here and not continue on. We've had this concept already several times over the last few days, that when it comes to chulin, the tumah stops at a sheni, parenthetically, except according to Rabbi Kiva that says it goes to a shlishi, but we don't paskin like Rabbi Kiva. In fact, we don't even find any mishnah, any braisa throughout the whole shas that says anything like that. Anyway, that's Rabbi Kiva. And then we had the other two, the gabi truma, it goes to a shlishi, and the gabi kochim, it goes to the ravi. So when it gets by chulin, Truma and Kodesh to Sheni, Shlishi, and Revi, respectively, we don't call that Tameh, we call that Posel, because it can no longer transmit the Tumah further, the buck stops there. And if that's the case, Frey Digmar, when we quoted this Mishnah back on Yotes Amid Aleph, it says that the Basar is Tameh. And the Gemara is assuming that that means davka tameh, meaning that not only it itself is tameh, but that it can go and be metameh acherim. And thus, frey the Gemara, maybe the hechsher of chibas hakodesh only goes to the point of making something posel, like by kodshim, it would make it into a revi, but not that chibas hakodesh would make it elevated into a rishon or a sheni or a shlishi to mitame others. So just break the one. That it itself should be tame. In other words, posel revi. Yeah, that I can hear. But lemimni bei rishon v'sheni nami. Is it tame like it says in the Mishnah that it could even be mitame acherim? And then you're going to answer, yeah, that's right. What's so terrible? Ma kolorash, yeah. Chibas hakodesh is so intense that it allows it not only to become possible, but even to be matami achreni. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, tipshit to boy reish lakish. If that's the case, we can be poshit to shayla of reish lakish. What was reish lakish shayla? Tzrid shel menachos, moinim boy reish vesheini, oilahoi. What's tzrid shel menachos? As you know, every carbon mincha, you have to go and pour in shemen, with the exception of the minchas chayte. But a normal mincha, you go and add shemen. How much shemen do you have to add? Well, it depends. Chatzia hin yeh lapar, shlishis hin la'ayil, urviyis hin la'keves. That's the gabe, the menachos that you go and bring, a minchas nesoch. If you're talking about a regular carbon mincha, then you go and put in just one revius. So now the question is, Zokta Yimara, what happens to Tzrid Shel Menachos? You took the mincha, meaning the flour, and you took the shemen, and you started mixing it. And you mixed and you mixed. However, you didn't do a perfect job. And one corner of the mincha did not get mixed with the shemen. Okay, nobody's perfect, but you do the best you can. Even sometimes you eat a piece of cake or a piece of challah or bread, sometimes if it wasn't fully, if the batter wasn't even, sometimes you can get a thicker piece or a thinner piece where it didn't get so wet. So what happens by this Tzrit Shemunacha? Tzrit Shemunacha, says Rashi, means that portion of the Karban Mincha that was Tzrid, that was Yavesh, that was dry, because the Shemen didn't get there. You see Rashi about six lines before the wide lines. Tzrit Shemunacha, says Rashi, Yavesh Shemunachis, Mokim Shle Noga L'Sham Shem. Question is, can that be Makabel Toma, and can that be Matame Achrini? Now, normal Karban Mincha is nothing to talk about, because normal Karban Mincha was Mukhshar Lekabel Toma as a result of the Shemen. So the Shemen touched the solid, meaning the flour. The flour became Mukhshar Lekabel Toma as a result of the Shemen. Shemen is one of the Yad Shachat Dam, Shin refers to Shemen. So, nothing to talk about. Aha. Even if you have part of the mincha that is dry, that didn't touch the shemen, well, they have the benefit of chibas hakodesh machshirasai, and so therefore it'll become tamei just because of chibas hakodesh. The shaila is, asks Reish Lakish, moinim by rishon v'sheini oiloi, should we count rishon v'sheini? What does the Gemara mean, should we count rishon v'sheini? The very question that we're asking here, that if this Tzrid Shel Menachos, that dry part of the Mincha, nothing fell on it in terms of a mashke. However, unfortunately, a dead sheretz touched it, or a nevela touched it. What do I do now? Chibas HaKodesh Machshirasan, that it is tamei. Now, when we say tamei, do we mean that it's posel, and that it cannot transmit the tumah further, or do we mean that it becomes tameh and it can transmit the tumah? That was Rish Lakish's shaila. Says Zokti Gemara, why does Rish Lakish have a shaila? We can be poshed it from our Mishnah, because the Mishnah says that the basar is tameh, which sounds like that not only is it psul de gufe, that it's basal, but it in fact it's such an intensive form of tumah that it can spread the tumah to other Ochlin, to other Kodshim. Since we see that Reish Lakish asks this as a Shaila, Moinim by Rishon V'Sheini Oilai, so the Gemara says this, I have the very same Shaila, Legabe Unz, Legabe the Basar. By Unz, the Basar says it's Tameh, which means that it can transmit, so let's be poishit Reish Lakish is Shaila, and say by Tzrit Shel Menachos, Moinim by Rishon V'Sheini, that it can transmit the Tumah further. Because Reish Lakish knew of all the Mishnayos, and he wasn't poishu to Shaila, it must be that there was another reason why this basar was mukhsha. Not because of Chibes HaKodesh, not because of Beis Mitpachaya, not because Dam HaNefesh. I'll tell you the secret. Amr of Yehuda Mishmuel, Kigon Shehoisa Porishal Zivchei Shalomim, Vavira Ben Nohar Vishachata, Badayim Mashke Toifeach Oleha. What's going on over here? Every time that they brought karbonos, one of the major things that they did was they did hefshet. Hefshet means to go and take off the skin, the hide of the karbon. In the case of the oira shel oila, those were given to the kahanim as a present. In the case of the zivchei shlomim, those belong to the balim. Okay, now let's say you're talking about an oila, and we are going to now, after the Shechita, we're going to strip the oila of its skin and give it to the kahanim. The fact that when you cut away the hide from the rest of the karm, that it might not be perfect, says the Gemara, that's not a major concern of the kahanim. All they have to be concerned is that they have the entire oru oila. If it turns out that attached to the oru oila, you have a little piece of meat and a little piece of carbon, no, we're only bas v'dam, we're not perfect. However, in the case of the karm shlomim, this belongs to the balim. The balim would like to have, number one, the oir intact as much as possible, but number two, they also want as much of the basar as possible, because one of the major reasons why you bring a karm shlomim is to supply food for the balim, for the mishpacha, for good friends, for the neighbors. You eat it fishnei yom v'layla echad. So what did they do to make sure that the stripping of the hide was done with the least amount of damage and loss, both on the side of the skin and on the side of the basar? What they used to do is they were mavre b'nohar. They took the parah before they brought to the Beis Mikdash, and they had it go for a swim in the river. Only after that, v'shachata. And again, I'm not a cattle handler. Perhaps you have, some of you have a better feel for this. But apparently, when you're maver b'nohar, that does something to the skin, that it expands or contracts. But it does something so that when after the shechita is over, it's much easier to go and strip the animal of its oir and to cut away the basar amachai. Fine. So this is what happened. The particular carbon that we were talking about is a parshul zivchishlam. They were mave benor, they had it go through the river, and they shechted it. And guess what? This was done so close to the shechita. V'adayin mashke tefeach aleha. There's still drops and drips and drips and drops of water still on the outside of the animal, so that when you are cutting away the oil, some of those drips dripped onto the basar, and the person is happy with those drips and drops, because that's why he took it in the nohar originally, so that it should have the benefit of being able to easily strip the animal of its oil from the outside. That being the case, that mashka is the machshir. Yes, Barry.
And we say it's nicha that the food item becomes moist with the approval of the Baal. The Baal here, Baal had kavana that the water should go and make the skinning better. He never had kavana for water to fall on the buster, which was inside the animal at the time.
It's true.
How can it be machshir if it's not nichale?
So the answer is, Mitzvah Shem, when you learn Mesechtas Machshirin, and every once in a while you have it through when the Shas brings these halachas of Hechsher, the Nichalei doesn't have to be on the final product. Nichalei only has to be at some point in the process. Meaning, as long as when the water initially fell, even though later on the person is not happy about it, if at any given time the water that came on it was Nichalei, that's already sufficient. The Gemara, in fact, even goes beyond that. What happens if a person went and he had some tomatoes in his hand, and he took his hand because his hand was dirty, and he put his hand into the river to go and rinse it off. Not to rinse off the tomatoes, to rinse off his hand. That's in itself already enough nichalei, even though vis-a-vis the tomatoes, they were nice and clean even before that. But my hands were a little bit more oily or dirty, whatever, and that's why we put my hand in. And with the tomatoes, that's already enough to be lertzoinai nichalei. So it doesn't have to be nichalei on the final product, on the basar. As long when he took the animal through the nohar, it was nichalei. That's already sufficient.
Don't you need to have a bedika through? You have it set aside 4 days?
The din of setting aside 4 days is only by a carbon tumid, where you had to go and put it inside in the lishka sakloin. It's true in the times of the midbar, the Korban Pesach, they had to go and be boiling for 4 days. But Mitzvah will learn later on in our Masechta, that was just Lisha'a at that time. But for all Doiros, there is no 4 day requirement. Yes, you can be boiling it, you should be boiling it, but you could theoretically buy your Korban on the morning of Erev Pesach, be boiling it yourself, make sure it's without a blemish, you'll bring it to the Beis Hamikdash, the Kohen will check it up and down, and if it looks good, they will shecht it. The only din of the 4 days is the Karban Tomid every day. We had Lishkas Atloim. When the times in the Midbar, you had the Pesach Midbar. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara. By the way, this doesn't shter. I mean, your kasha really doesn't frag up the Gemara. Because it could be that the Baalim, you don't have to buy Behemoth Dafka from the Beis Hamikdash. You can go and buy it throughout Yerushalayim. You remember we had a week ago, that if you ever found Mois on the floor in front of the Shuk HaTabochim in Yerushalayim, not in the Beis Hamikdash, in the Shuk, you found over there money, you can assume that it was Master Sheni money the entire year. So you see, and what's the reason why? Because the people used the Master Sheni money to go and buy behemoths for Karbanas. So you see, it wasn't that you had to go and buy the behemoth from the Kahanim in the Beis Hamikdash, from the treasury, you can go and bring in your own. So it could be over here, according to your question, Brother Shai, that this part I already bought a week ago. I was already boiling it for 4 days, or even for a week. And now I bring it to the Beis Hamikdash right before I make sure it goes through the Nahar. Of course, I make sure that he didn't get some thorns into its side as a result of going through the Nahar. But assuming everything went smoothly and well, went through the Nahar, it got wet, and then they shechted it. With this, we've concluded the first part of that Mishnah. Now, the Mishnah continues on. What happens, nimtzis beperesh, when instead of finding the machat in the basar, I found it in the perish. Perish is that part of the animal which is basically tsoa, excrement, which we're going to go and throw out. We're not going to go and use it. That's perish. The reason why it's called perish is because it's mufrash. It's separated from the rest of the animal, all of which is geshmak and fine and good, and perish is what we're going to discard. So if you found the machat in there, hakol tohar, even the basar which was next to the perish, also is tohar. Question is, why? Had the perish when the basar. And Rashi adds that the Gemara is Havamina, and we'll see in a moment for the Gemara's Teretz that this has to be the Havamina, was that the perish was wet. Why was it wet? The assumption is that as the para was going through the Nahar, the para decided to also take a drink. And therefore, it drank a lot of the water, and the water now made the perish very liquidy. So it wasn't a solid, it was a liquid. No, if it's a liquid, so that should be enough, number one, to be machshir, number two, to be metame, because mashkin can be metame oichlin. We had a shaila before, whether that's teraisa, whether it's terabonon, but why don't we go and say that that mashke of the peresh of the tsoya should be metame the basar. L'choyer, this would only go according to the Man D'Yomer that holds that Mashkin is Metameh min HaTorah. According to those that hold Mashkin is Metameh Drabanan, it could be that in the base of Migdish, we would be exempt from that Gezeira, like many of the Dinim that we've been speaking about over the last few days, that there's a difference between the Mikdash and Medina. But anyway, Dr. Gemara, why doesn't the watery Peresh go and be Metameh the Basar? Why did you say that if you find the machat in the peresh, hakol tohar, no, let the basar be tameh? We're talking about that it was thick peresh. What means thick peresh? That in fact it was not liquidy. The behemoth, when it went through the water, was fasting a tanis, didn't drink any water, and therefore the solid oichel, it's not even an oichel, it's just perish, but that solid cannot be metami the oichlin, the basar. There was no water involved, and therefore it wasn't a mashke that tried to be metami an oichel, it was perish. Perish is worthless as goodish. Ravashi Yomar, you don't even have to come on to that teretz. And this is the same Ravashi we had a few days ago, that afil l'tayme b'perish raka, even if it's talking about that the perish in fact was moist and soft and liquidy, it still would not be metame the basar, mishem da b'mashke saruach. And for mashke to be metame, remember it says in the pasuk, v'chol mashke asher yishose. What means mashke asher yishose? A liquid that can be drunk. Here you cannot go and drink this liquid because it's mashke that's part of the perish. Perish the thought that a person would go and drink from that mashke. It's a ruach, and therefore it cannot be metame. Good. Nu shtikl. We finished now the explanation of that Mishnah in Mesechtas Idias, which was one of four cases that Rav Chanina bar Zakana Kehanim was discussing there in that Mesechta. So now we go and talk about other related and unrelated issues. Tani Tana Kamid Rav Sheshes. Sheretz Metamias HaMashkin. Umashkin Metamias HaKli. Ukli Metamias HaOichlin. For Oichlin Metamin Es HaMashkin. So with this Tana was saying, meaning this is one of the Talmidim of Rav Sheshes, in repeating this Braisa, was saying is that you can have altogether five levels of Tumah. You start off with the Sheretz. Sheretz, of course, is the Av HaTumah. In the time it's a mashkin, it causes the mashkin to become a, that will become a rishon l'tumah. The mashkin mitame is a kli. The kli is going to become a sheni l'tumah. Kli mitame is a oichlin. The oichlin is going to become a shlishi l'tumah. Oichlin mitame is a mashkin. The mashkin is going to become a revi l'tumah. So together with the sheretz, you got five dargis of tumah altogether. The final one being the mashkin is going to become a revi l'tumah. But the Braisa continues on and finishes off. V'lamanu sholish tumas b'sheret. So I see from this long list of things that have become tamei that the sheret, the avatuma, can go mimatame up to three more degrees of tumah. Three more? Hanayabohem. We just counted them together. And we saw that besides the original tumah of the sheretz, we had four more. We had the mashkin, the kli, the oichlin, and the mashkin. So it's four. What are you telling me? Three. Everything more, you're right. Go is mashkin duresha. You see that first mashkin in the beginning, that the sheretz mutami mashkin, push the delete button and take out the mashkin. Then we only have three left. Freik Timur, if you're taking out mashkin, adarabba goyiz mashkin to seifa. Why do you take out the first mashkin? Take out the last mashkin. And just end off. Klima tamis oichlin, period. Says him, I'll tell you why. Zuk Timur, le ashkhantana di oma mashkin metamim kli. We don't find anywhere that mashkin can metamim kli. Yeah, mashkin metamim kli midrabbanon, but not minatoyra. This presumably is talking about minatoyra, or it's talking about in the Beis Hamikdash, where mashkin would not be tame, would not be metame akli. One second. I remember there was a Tana that held that mashkin is metame everything. Remember Rabbi Yehuda on Daf Tes Zayin Amid Aleph said Rabbi Yehuda, it's metame hakoil. And the Gemara learned in the Havamina that it's metame, the oichlin and metame, the kelim and everything. So why tell me, lui ashkhan Tana? So it's more the ashkhan Tana, the omma mashkin metame kli ela Rabbi Yehuda. Remember, Rabbi Yehuda changed his mind. And you recall, 2 days ago, we learned in the Gemara, we had a shaila, how far reaching did Rabbi Yehuda change his mind? Did he change his mind to hold that it's not metame anything like Rameir? Or that it's not metame kalim, but it's metame ochlin, like we had Rabbi Yossi v'Rab Shimon? The Simanech, when you are reviewing this price again, and you cannot remember the order of what became Tomei first and what became Tomei second, your simon is Naziyosa. Naziyosa, says Rashi, means these are the beer brewers. When you brew beer, the first thing is you bring in a kli. You bring in your vessel to be able to mix the ingredients. Then you go and bring in the ochlin, meaning the hops or whatever you're using to go and brew. And then you go and add mashkin, and you add water to it, and then you mix it up and let it ferment, etc. So that was the order of that brisa. The sheretz is metame the kli is metame the ochlin metame the mashkin, in that order, vessel, solid ingredients, and then the liquids. Okay, on to another mishnah. Tanan Husam. This mishnah now is Masechtas Kelim, and once.
Just one question.
Yes, two questions.
One question.
Sure.
Why is mashkin not metame the kli? Just to refresh the memory.
Because midrabanan mashkin is metame kelim, but not min ha-toyre. How do I know? Because it says in the Torah, v'chol mashkin asher yishase b'chol kli yitma. Mashkin can receive tuma, however. We learn Yitma, Yitma Yitama. That's how Rabbi Yossi learned Alibid Rabbi Kiva. And that Yitama was that it's Matami Achrini. And then the Gemara asked, what Matami Achrini? We have three possibilities. It could be that Mashkin is Matami Oichlin, Matami Other Mashkin, or Matami Kelim. So Gemara said, it cannot be Matami Other Mashkin because Einoi Matami Kiyotzeba. So that's out.
Yeah.
Why can't it be Matami Kelim? So the Gemara said, because I have a kal v'chomer. What was the kal v'chomer? The madach, when you have a kli, cannot be metame another kli, if you have a kli cheres, that a sheretz fell in. Then the kli becomes tameh. What happens if I insert another kli into this larger kli? It remains tohar. How do I know? Because the Gemara said we have two psukim back to back. It said that if you have a sheretz falling into kli, kol asher besoicha yitma va'oisis yishvor. Anything that falls into the kli subsequently will become tamei. So I would think, oh, that includes kelim. But the next pasuk says, mikol oichal asher yiyachel, umikol mashke asher yishase. So I see that the Torah is telling you that kol asher besoicha, the only thing that becomes tamei is the oichlin or mashke that come in, and not a kli. So a kli cannot be matame a kli. Said the Gemara, remember a couple of days ago, a mashke that became tame as a result of the kli, because the mashke was in this kli tame, it certainly can't be metame kelim. Madach, the source of the tumah, which was the kli itself, cannot be metame another kli. a mashkin that is derived, the offspring, the derivative of the kli, certainly cannot go and be metame kelim. It doesn't have enough strength and potency to go metame kelim. So, oy bazoi, so what can the mashkin be metame? Asher yitma yitama can only metame ochlin. Okay, so that's why our Gemara says. Yes, sorry.
In Hanukkah, Lefisa, in Hanukkah, how does the Pach become Tomei? How did the Shemen become Tomei in Hanukkah if the Kli cannot be Metame the oil?
Start again. Parsha Pshat in the Pasuk is Kli can be Metame oil. But our Gemara is talking about oil cannot be Metame a Kli. We're saying that a Mashke cannot be Metame Kelim.
Kli can be Metame oil.
Poshit pshat, the poshit ivra, like we learned in Chayder, is shteitin pasik that koyla shebesoicha yitzma. Anything inside the kli can become tame. Anything inside a kli tame will become tame. What does that include?
Including
mashke. Including mashke kol oichal shiachal mashke asher yishase. So therefore, mashkin are mekabel tuma from a kli menatayr. What you're probably thinking about is, didn't we have Rav at the beginning of the sugya?
In the Beis HaMikdash, you cannot be metam.
You're doing very beautifully. So Rav said back on Daf Tezvav that in fact the Mashke Beit Mitbachaya Dochein, not only is it Tor Letam Yachrini, it itself also cannot be Makabel Tum. That what does Rav do with a pasik? So the Gemara, if you remember, said that that pasik is not talking about legabe being metame. Exactly, legabe hechsher, not legabe the din of being metame. Beautiful.
Yeah.
So therefore, it's totally in that machloikis how you learn pshat in the pasik. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara, are we okay now? No problem. My pleasure. I think what you want to do is you want to go one step further, because until now we were talking about according to Rav base mitzbachaya. However, remember according to Levi learned base mitzbachaya. Base mitzbachaya means that the yayin or shemen that were used on the mizbeach. How were they used on the mizbeach? The yayin in nisach hayayin. The shemen was used in menachis. Where according to Levi said that even yayin the shemen of the base mitzbachaya do not become tamei. We ask the kasha, is the pasuk in Chagai that says yayin v'shemen do become tamei? So according to one of the pshatim in the Gemara, that was midrabanan and not min hatayrim. Based on that, you have your question that if, in fact, according to Levi, the yayin v'shemen based midbachaya doesn't become tamei, how would the chashmonaim? What's the whole nes of Hanukkah that we're talking about that the oil became tamei, according to Levi, can't become tamei. And since it's in the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't have the Tumah D'Rabbanan, so in Bazoi, how did it become tamei? So in fact, this is a question that's asked by the Mor Uktzia, that's the Sefer of the Rabbi Yankov Emden, that how did the Shemen become tamei according to Levi, since Shemen is Beis Mitbachaya, and according to Levi, Beis Mitbachaya doesn't become tamei, how did that Shemen become tamei? Anyway, so that's probably what you had in mind. On this Kasha, you have many, many, many Svarim to deal with this, many, many Achrenim. One of the easy terets, if you will, is that the shemen at Beis Mitbachaya means a shemen that was designated for use for Karban Mincha, as opposed to other shemanim which were used for the menorah. So you're going to say to yourself, come on, all shemens are the same. Why would there be a distinction between the shemen for the Mizbeach and the shemen for the menorah? But you remember Rashi and Chumash says that when it comes to Atazoi, shemen Zayi Zoch, Kosis la mo'er, and Rashi says Kosis means that it's from the very first kvetching, the squeeze out of the olives, as opposed to Menachis, where you can go and the second or third stage of crushing and smashing and kvetching until you get it. So you see the taka different shemen. So the shemen based mitbachaya could not become tamei. The shemen that was used for the menorah, even according to Levi, could become tamei. Therefore, Baruch Hashem, we found the is good. So you can say, you can share this at the table with everybody, not only learning the daf, but also Bisvodeng Chanukah. Thank you for raising this issue. Anyway, getting back to Bruchim to you. Back to our Gemara. Tanan Hasan. You have sheretz shenimtza betana. You have a sheretz that you find the dead sheretz in a tana. Okay, you quickly removed it, you got it out. The tanner, which was a kli cheres, remains tamei. So pas shebesoichoi, if subsequently you're going to go and bake pas inside this tanner, it's going to be a shnia. Mnesha tana tchila. In other words, like we've learned all along, the sheretz is the av. The tanner will become the rishain. The pas will become the shiny or the shnia. Very simple. Why? Says I don't understand why it becomes a shiny. Let it become a rishon. Let's remember, a kli cheres, you have this dangling dead sheretz in the aver kli cheres. You were able to chop out the rodent, the sheretz, before it touched any wall, an inside wall, an outside wall, it didn't touch anything. Kli cheres is tame. Why? Because it was in the avir kli cheres. Oh, it's from avir. That means that this whole ear, in the ear pocket, within the cavity of this kli, you're saying is all malei tame. Fine. So now when I insert the dough and it bakes bread, I should say that that ear in the cavity is metame the bread directly. Forget about the kli cheres. The ear in the kli cheres, let us say, is permeated with the tumma of the sheretz. And let's say that just like the kli cheres becomes tame, a rishoin, let us say that the pas is also a rishoin. That cannot be. Why the sign will in the brisa? Yochi who kala kelim etamli avikli cheres. This is what we just spoke about a moment ago with our good friend Mr. Friedlander. I would think that all the kelim would be metame avikli cheres. In other words, not only oichlenu mashkin, but even kelim inside the kli cheres. Talmid loimar kol asher besoicha yitma. Assuming that you have the Torah or Hashalem, you look at the pasuk aleph, and this is the pasuk that we just quoted a few moments ago. V'chol kli cheres asher yipol mehem el toicha. Yipol mehem means from one of the shmoinish shiratzim falls into the kli cheres. Now the kli cheres is tamei. Koil asher besoicha yitma. Anything in this kli cheres becomes tamei. V'oisus ishbayu. Now on the surface, it sounds like anything, even kelim. But the next pasuk, that's Torah or Hashalom Beis. You see, the first pasuk is Yud Aleph Lamed Gimel. The other one is Yud Aleph Lamed Dalet. The second pasuk now explains what do we mean? Koil Hashem Bezoichoy. Because Oichel Hashem Yochel. Oichel Matami Avek Licheres. Because Mashke Hashem Yishase. Mashke Matami Licheres. Vein Kolake Matami Avek Licheres. Why not? Didn't you just say a moment ago that this kli cheres, in the cavity of the kli cheres, we have all of this tamei dika avir? Let a kli that falls in, forget about the kli cheres being metame the other kli. Let the avir be metame the other kli. And the answer is because the avir is not metame the other kli. It's not the avir that's metame. It's the avir that is in the kli cheres. That's what metame. Oh, that being the case, that's why kalim cannot become tamei, and that's why the pas doesn't get a din of a rishon; it gets the din of a sheni. Because the pas doesn't become tamei because of the avir; it gets tamei because of the kli cheres. The kli cheres became tamei as a result of the avir. But forget about the avir now; it's the kli cheres that is now metamei. Zokim moravaita. We're going to ask now a bunch of kashes. All of Kamat, the rest of the daf, we've already learned in one form or another, and therefore, to a certain extent, it's Chazar. Rav Chizda Rami Pischa Pischa Mishani. Rav Chizda asked the Gabi Hilchis Pesach a stira, and he gave an answer. Mi Amr Bishua Shtein Ki Achas, back on Yudalid Omud Aleph, when we started the Sugya of Rav Chanina Skana Kehanan, the last four words in the Mishnah were, there's five words for Bishua Omer, Shtein Ka'achas. Shtein Ka'achas means that on Erev Pesach, it's coming 11:05, 11:10, 11:30, and you have to go and now burn the chametz, you can take truma tluya. Tluya means it's a suffix, tame. Ve'al atmeya and avadai tuma. Take the two together, merge them, and burn them together, shtei in kach. That's what Rabbi Yeshua said. So Rav Chisda asked the steer, "Mi Amar Rav Yeshua shtei in keachas?" Did Rav Yeshua say that you can go and burn them all as one, meaning the Sofik truma tameya and the vadai truma tameya? Is that true or minu? I'll ask you a kasha. Amar Rav Yosi. Rav Yosi is now addressing Rav Meir of our Mishnah. Remember, Rav Meir said, based on midivrayim, we learn that you can go and burn together truma tahoira and truma tameya on erev Pesach. What was midivrayim? We had Rabbi Chinis Karakehanim, we had Rabbi Akiva, and the Gemara said, according to one teretz, it learns of Rabbi Yeshua. We had this, remember, back on Yudalad and Daf Tezva. Anyway, so Gemara asked the Stira. Om Rabbi Yosi, ein in the raya, says Rabbi Yosi to Ramaya, you try to bring me a raya from Rabbi Chinis Karakehanim with Rabbi Akiva. Ach, sinishka gitaraya. When the Rabbi Seinu in our Mishnah Daf Yudalid were made, what were they made on? What happens if you have Basar that was Tomei Bevlada Tumah, which means it became a Sheni? Well, you remember, according to Morris Teretz, it became a Shlishi because it was Nitma Bevlad Vlada Tuma, it was a Shlishi. She served an Oisi, allowed to go and burn in Basra, Shinipa Be'ava Tuma, together with a Rishon Tuma. Even though what's going to happen is your Moisif Tuma Al Tumasai, because the Shlishi is now going to be elevated to a Sheni. If you're going to burn a Shlishi with a Rishon together, the Rishon is going to cause the Shlishi to become a Sheni. You can do that, it's not a problem. Same thing as with Rabbi Kiva. Imala Shemin Shinifsal B'Tzvul Yoyim. You had Shemin that became a Shlishi because it was touched by a Tzvul Yoyim. Tzvul Yoyim is a person that went to the mikveh, didn't have Herif Shemesh. He has a din of a Sheini. So that Shemin is now Posel. You're talking about Truma. It's now a Shlishi. Shemadlik and Oyz B'Nesh and Nitman B'Tzmei Mes. You're allowed to go and pour that Shemin into a Menorah that is Tami B'Tzmei Mes. Remember, we spoke about whether it was made out of matches, and then it would be itself an avatuma, or whether it was made out of cheres, and then it would be a rishon l'tuma. But you're allowed to go and take the shlishi and put it into that ner, even though again it's going to be elevated either to a sheni or to a rishon. Zeh posel zeh tamei. This one is posel, meaning the shemun was already posel, was already a shlishi. Zeh tamei, and the menorah was a tamei, either an av or a rishon l'tuma. So af on a moidim, so says Rabbi Yosi to Rabbi Meir, we would also agree. The truma shenitmis b'alav atuma shesarf an oisa ima truma shenitmis b'alav atuma. That I can hear. If both trumas are tamei, one happens to be a sheni tzashlishi, I can understand you can go and burn it together with truma, which is an avatuma, which is a rishon. Aval heich nisraif, according to you, Rameir, what raya do you have that you can go and burn together even a tluyim atameya? And kolshkein, a tohar im hatameya, a tohoyra im hatameya. So what's the problem with the tluyim hatameya? So to be oisi, shema yov eliyovi yitaren. Maybe eliyovi is going to go and come and say, oh, this is not tameh, this really is tohar. So you have no business going to be metameh. And you remember the Gemara said that, what does her mayor answer? Ein eliyov ba, loy ba'arvi shabosif, la'arvi yom toivim, etc., etc. What do I see from this brisa? That Rabbi Yosi is saying that we don't find anywhere a makor that you can go and burn tluya im hatameya. What do you mean? We just had in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua says, shtein ka'achas. So you see, you can burn tluya im hatameya. Why is Rabbi Yosi screaming at Rabbi Meir and saying, impossible, no such thing. You can only burn together ashlishi mitarisha, mitashlishi, mitashaini, mitar, and av, mitashlishi, but not Tluya and Tameya. Maybe Eliyahu will come and say that it's Tor. We just got finished saying that Rabbi Yeshua in fact holds Shtei in Kachas. So Ibazoi, Abachastira from Rabbi Yeshua in the Mishnah to Rabbi Yosi that says that there is no such day and no such Mandi Yomar. Umeshani, Rabbi Chizda that asked the Kasha, he himself gave the Teretz. In fact, it's a Machloikis, how strength or how makel Rabbi Yeshua was. where do we find this machlek? It's this Anya. We have a braisa. Yidal shechol yois b'Shabbos. What happens if Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos? Like this year, a very rare occurrence. Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos. You can't go and do biur chametz in the traditional sense of burning it on Erev Pesach because it's Shabbos. So mavar nakol b'fnei Shabbos. What you have to do is before Shabbos, Friday afternoon, a half an hour before Lachzen, you go and burn all the unnecessary chametz. All the chametz that you're going to need for Friday night and Shabbos day, leave it. Anything else, you got to go and burn it. Vasorfin, trumais tameois, tluyois, tahoyois, Rameyer says, you burn them all together. As one, this is Rameyer Lishitosai, that Rameyer holds that you can burn even truma tahoyra with truma tamea, no problem. Rabbi Yosi, I mean, says Rabbi Yosi, Tahoyra b'fnei atzma, Tluya b'fnei atzma, Tmeya b'fnei atzma. This is the same Rabbi Yosi that we just got finished with. That Rabbi Yosi says you cannot mix and match even Tluya mit atmeya, because Eliyahu Navi might come on the scene and tell you that it's tahor, everything bazundel. Aha. Anyway, Reb Shimon. Now we have Reb Shimon introduced into the Braisa, and Reb Shimon says, "Leinechlechu Reb Lezer Reb Yishua ala Tahira ala Tameya she'ain sarfin." If you have Truma Tahira and Truma Tameya, you cannot merge those together and burn them on Erev Pesach. Ala Tluyva ala Tahira she'sarfin. If you have Tolui and Tahira, you can burn them together. How can you burn them together? Tluy is the Chasofik Tomei, says Rashi, because it's a Sofik. It could possibly be at least 50-50 that it's tahor, so therefore it's not nira kimatam may be yodayim. It's not huchsak tumah. I don't know for sure that it's tameh. It could be that it's tameh. Its original chazaka was that it was tahor, so maybe it became tameh. You're right. Maybe it did. Maybe it didn't. So when you go and burn it together with the tahira, it doesn't look. It's not nicker that you are coming and burning. Yet you're being mitameh the truma tahira be yodayim. So everybody agrees that that is permissible. Now the question is, Aman Echlikos, where is the Machlokes? That's Reb Lezer, each one separately. Oh, so we see now it's Reb Shimon that's quoting Reb Yeshua, and he's saying about Reb Yeshua that you can go and be metame them and burn them together as one. So that's Reb Shimon, Alibid Reb Yeshua. However, Rabbi Yosi said a moment ago, no, Tahira b'fnei atzma, Tluya b'fnei atzma, Tmeya b'fnei atzma. So Rabbi Yosi holds Alibad Rabbi Yeshua, that in fact, you have to be machmir, you cannot burn the two together. So we have a machloikis, what Rabbi Yeshua really held in the case of Tluya and Tmeya. According to Rabbi Yosi, Chas v'Sholom, don't burn them together. According to Rabbi Shimon, yes, you can burn them together. Oh, so you're saying that according to Rabbi Yosi, I'm much more machmir. You cannot burn them together. For Rabbi Masnis and Rabbi Yosi, if you look back on Daf Yudalid, Rabbi Yosi is the one that's quoting Rabbi Lez and Rabbi Yeshua. And Rabbi Yosi says at the end of the Mishnah that Rabbi Yeshua Oimer, that Shteyen Ka'achas. So it's Rabbi Yosi that's saying in the name of Rabbi Yeshua that you can burn Tluya and Tameya together. You said that that's Rabbi Shimon. Amisha said it's Rabbi Yosi. Everything in Marachi come Rabbi Yosi to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yosi is speaking rhetorically to Rabbi Meir, and he's saying to Rabbi Meir, Afilu Rabbi Shimon, remember, Rabbi Meir holds that you can burn together Tluya, Tameya, Tahoira, no problem. Says Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Meir, how can you be so makel? Afilu Rabbi Shimon, Valid Rabbi Yeshua, who's the great makel in these halachos? What does Rabbi Shimon hold according to Rabbi Yeshua? I myself, Rabbi Yosi, hold the limit of Rabbi Yeshua that you cannot burn Tluya and Tameya. Reb Shimon, who is Meikel, says that according to Reb Yeshua, you can burn Truma, Tluya, and Tameya. Aba ki Meikel, but Tluya, Tameya. Aba Tahira, Tameya, loy. And you, Reb Meir, want to go out on the limb and even Tahira and Tameya, that we never heard of. And with this, we have concluded that discussion, the kasha of Reb Chisda. Reb Chisda said, I have a stira, Reb Yeshua on Reb Yeshua, and the Gemara answers, this is Reb Shimon Alib Reb Yeshua, and this is Reb Yosef Alib Reb Yeshua. And now we have another kasha. He has a kasha from Hilchos Truma. So the Mishnah Psachim Umishani. You tell me according to Yeshua, you can take biyodayim in your hands. You can take Teluya and Temeya and burn them together as one or a minu. And now we're going to quote a Mishnah that we already had a few days ago. Voshtet. Chav yishol truma shenoy lebasafik tuma. What happens if I have a barrel of truma that it has safik tuma? Maybe it became tamei, maybe it didn't become tamei. What do I do with this barrel? Beza oimer im hoyse munachas v'mokam atarufa. If it was sitting out in the open, yanichena v'mokam amutzna, you gotta put it away in a very secluded area. And if it was open without a cover, yichasena, quickly go and cover it. Why do I have to do that? It's anyway safik tamei. So remember, we learned because of the fact that it says mishmeres trumoy soy b'shtei trumas akasa medaber achas truma tahira v'achas truma teluya, that both of them you have to be careful, that shouldn't become tamei. Aha, says however Rabbi Yeshua. If it was hiding in a secluded place, you can go and put it out in the open. And if it was covered, you can go and leave it open. Why? Rashi explained back a few days ago, because it says in the pasuk Trumasai, but it's missing a vav, and I can read it Trumasi, and therefore I say that the Truma is only Truma Tehoira is there din of Mishmeres Trumasi, not by Truma Tluya. That's the end of that Mishnah of that Braisa. So now the Gemara asks a stira. I see Rabbi Yeshua says you can go and leave it open. Did Rabbi Yeshua say that you can even drop a sheretz or an avela into this barrel to go and be matameit? Doshanisht. Gerame in, be a daim law. You're allowed to be goyrim that it should become tame, but you're not allowed to do it be a daim. And here you're saying that even be a daim, you can go and take together the truma teluya and the truma tahira and just burn them, or the truma teluya and the truma tameya, that you can go and burn it together. And here it says only be grama, not be a daim. Umashani and Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, that asked the stira, he gave the answer, same teretz as before. Rabbi Shimon Alibi to Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Shimon is makel according to Rabbi Yeshua and holds that you can go and burn together Teluya and Temeya. Rabbi Yosef Alibi to Rabbi Yeshua that you cannot burn the two together, and therefore maximum you can allow for a grama, but you cannot actually be metame them via dai. And now we have a third kasha. Rabbi Lozer Rami Truma Truma Mishani. Again he asks the stira Truma and Truma. Again, what does Rabbi Yeshua hold? Mi Amar Rabbi Yeshua Grama in Biyadayim Loi. We just got finished saying that Rabbi Yeshua holds that you're allowed to be Goreim Tuma by letting the Truma Tluya be open without a lid, so that Nevela might fall in and the Sheretz might fall in. I don't care. Grama in Biyadayim Loi. Frankly, more a minute. I'll show you that Rabbi Yeshua holds even Biyadayim. Where do I find that? Again, we had this Gemara before. We had a chavius, a barrel of truma, that broke in the upper part of the wine press. And in the lower gasa tachtoina, you had chulin temein. What happens if the truma spills out and falls to the ground, to the gasa tachtoina? It's going to fall on the chulin temein. It's going to become dimua. Dimua means a mixture of chulin and truma together. And that's going to cause the chulin temeim to be almost worthless. Because chulin temeim can be eaten by those people that are not makbid to eat chulin mitahara. Or even those people that are makbid to eat chulin mitahara, if they occasionally become tame, then they can eat chulin temeim. But now that it's become, if the truma spills out on top of it, then it's going to become truma temeya, and it's truma temeya, you can basically not use it at all. Not for the zar, for the Yisrael, and not even for the kohen. And that being the case, what do I do? Says Moider Blazer Rabbi Yeshua, Shem Yochel Hatzim Menor, Vias B'Tahara Yatzu. The best thing is if I can quickly find any kelim tohirim to allow for the truma to spill out in those kelim, that would be the best. Because I save as much as possible of the upper truma wine, and I save the chulin temeim down below. I don't allow the the truma to drip down onto the chulin down below. If I don't have such kelim tohirim, then just let it spill out. Let it pour down on the chulin tameyim. Go and take a keli, which is tameh, insert it in between the stream of the broken truma up above and the chulin tameyim down below, to be able to save the chulin tameyim. Avad, the truma is going to become tameh because it's falling into a kli tameh. But at least I'm going to go and save the chulin down below. So I have a steer now, Rabbi Yeshua. The previous price that we brought, Rabbi Yeshua said, you can be metameh truma mitzad groma. Groma in, biyadayim loy. Here we say, even biyadayim, I have this truma tahira, and I'm inserting the kelim tameim to go and save it, and to save the chulim tameim, I'm being metam in the truma tahira biyadayim, not just a groma. Now the kasha is nisha zashvera kasha, because the Gemara gives a very simple teretz, like we said before. Umishani shani hosan dike hefsed chulin. You think I want to be metame the truma? Chas v'sholem, I don't want to be metame truma. But I want to save the chulin tameim. That's worth a lot of money. You might have gallons and gallons, 50 gallons, 100 gallons, 1,000 gallons of truma tameim, of chulin tameim. I don't want that all to become dimua and then basically useless. If that's the case, why don't you say the same thing in the Mishnah? Everybody should agree that you can go and merge together Truma Tahira with Truma Tameya, because this way you save having to make two separate fires. Just make one fire and burn everything together as one. Amalei Abaye, Abaye answers. Remember, a few days ago we had Amalei Saba, and Barry reminded us that Saba is referring to the Toises on top of Chulin Davov. Except for Shabbos Lamed Gimel, Tzeliyah, why not? Except for Shabbos Lamed Gimel, Tzeliyah. Here the Gemara says, Omalei Abaye, Lehefse Meruba Choshu, Lehefse Muat, Lo Yichoshu. They were Choshish, meaning that I'm going to lose all of the Chulin Temeim down below, which might have been hundreds or thousands of gallons. Hefse Muat, I'm going to lose two extra logs to have to make another fire. No, Nishkefer, Lo Yichoshu. Do you have a makor to distinguish between a hefsed meruba and a hefsed mu'at? He says, well, yeah, the sign we have a price. Chovi shel shem and truma shenishbra begasol yoyna ubedachtoyna chulin temayin. It sounds like the previous price, but it's not. Here we're not talking about shemen. I'm sorry, we're not talking about yayin. We're talking about shemen. An identical case, a parallel case. You have chovish of shemen truma shenish begasal yoina up above. Upetachtoina we have shemen of chulin tameim down below. The chayit shouldn't say gas; it should say bad, but we understand what it means. So moider blazer of Yeshua here, blazer of Yeshua moidim shiyochel hatzav mena revius b'tarif yin b'matzel yatzel avada. Everybody agrees that's the best eitzah. Try to save the shemen from touching the shemen down below. We don't want it to make him dimua. If you have no choice, here everybody agrees, even Rabbi Yeshua, do not insert a kli tameh in between, but let it go and drip all the way down to the shemen chulin tameh. Frey Timur, why? Maishna, after all, by the yayin you said, Rabbi Yeshua said, insert a kli, even if it's tameh, be metameh be yadayim, save the chulin tameh. And over here, I'm not worried about saving by the shemen, the chulin tameim. Says Yimor, I'll tell you what. Maishna shemen. Teroi lahadlik. Because even if the chulin tameim becomes tamei, and it's already tamei, even if it becomes suffik truma, doesn't matter. What do you use shemen for? We're assuming we're talking about shemen that you're not going to use for salad dressing, but that you're going to use to go and burn. For instance, to provide light for the home. After all, they didn't have electric lights at those times, so you had to have shemen to go and light your kerosene lamp, or whatever. So, says the Gemara, worst comes to worst comes to worst, the shemen chulin tmeyin down below will become dimua. No problem, we can still use it, it still has utility, we can go and burn it like you would burn any shemen. However, yayin, we don't have that heter. What are we going to do with yayin? Yayin you can't burn, so what can you use it for? So says the Gemara, l'choyre, that's the distinction between the yayin and the shemen, that the yayin you don't have to worry, even though there will be a hefset, because when it happens to be shemen chulin tamein, it can be used by everybody, including Yisraelim and Zarim. If it becomes demua, it can only be used by kohanim, but doesn't nish gefarlich. At least it still has great utility. The kohanim can use it to go and burn. But yayin lechayre now is worthless, because the yayin, once it's tamein, you cannot go and drink it. You cannot go and burn it. So what are you going to use it for? So that's why it's a hefset meruba, and that's the difference between the hefset meruba and the hefset bud. Frank Timor, what are you talking about? Yayin nami roi lezilav. Yayin you can use for zilav. Zilav means to use it like an ear freshener. And that being the case, so then it also has utility. Come on, ear freshener, come on. Yeah, you buy ear freshener for 99 cents, $1.29 or whatever it is. Yeah, it's nishka grois zachen. It's almost worthless. No, that's not true. If you're buying wine to drink, go and pay for it. A sela. Shoisim malug b'sela. If you're buying wine for purposes of ziluf, you should be willing to pay for it shtayim, double the price. So you see that ear freshener wine is even more valuable than drinking wine. Says Yimar, come on, give me a break. That's only talking about yayin yosha. Yayin yosha, you smell the wine, particularly for all the connoisseurs, and they smell it, they say, oh, this smells like delicious wine, probably from 1842 or 1923 or whatever. Here we're talking about b'chadosh, brand new wine. Basically smells like grape juice. Is gunish mit gunish. That's not ro'oi lezilf. Okay, now it's still chadosh. But leave it around for a week or two, or for a month or two, or for a year or two. And then by that time it'll become yashin, and then it will have a nice fragrance, and then it will be valuable, even more valuable than drinking. Says Yimori, you cannot leave it around, because also be data color. If you're talking about dimua, truma, chulin, truma and chulin tmeyim mixed together, so that a din of truma tmeya, if I'm going to leave it around for an ear freshener, guess what? Over time, people are going to go and drink from it by accident. After all, you're not going to burn all the shemen in 1 minute. It's also going to be there around for a while. So people might, by accident, use it for salad dressing or the like. We're going to go and pour all this shemen tamei into klimos, and everybody will understand, stay away from the shemen. It's not meant for eating or drinking, it's meant only for lighting. Do the same thing with the yayin, put in the klimos, and people know not to drink from it, and people know it's only for zilov. Everyone, the zilov kaboyle beklimos, ramile. After we're talking about an ear freshener, you don't put an ear freshener in a klim which stinks. That would be ridiculous. Who is going to go and put in ear freshening wine into something that's going to give it a bad stench? It's a clean mos. So therefore that eitzah does not work. So bottom line is, there is a difference between yayin and shemen. One is hefset meruba, one's not hefset meruba, and that's why we see that there is a distinction between one and the other. So to more of that you just spoke about takola, that you have to worry about that by accident you're going to use the yayin or the shemen. L'choyre, this is a machloikis tanoi. And if it's a machloikis tanoi, l'choyre, it's only according to Beis Shammai, not according to Beis Hillel. As we'll see momentarily. So do a betekola atzma tanoi, the sign will under the brayis of chavi yishol yayin, shol trumish and nitmiz. Beis Shammai oimrin, you know what you do with this chavi yishol yayin? Tishofech chevel. What means chevel? Rashi says, it's like a chavila. Chavila means like a ganza pekel. Don't pour it out slowly but surely, drop by drop, drip by drip. Pour it out like one chavila, like a package. Pour it all out. But there's another girsa which is even easier. On the side of Masoris Hashas and Ois Chof, instead of chevel, it's hakoil. Meaning that the ches is really a hay, and the vase is really a chof. Tishofa hakoil, spill out the whole thing, the ganze contents. Bakul mikakol, tishpach hakoil. Aha. Ubeisil amrim, tas zilof. No. Even though it's chavi shel yayim shetrumah shenitmiz, you can do the zilaf, you can go and do the ear freshener. Now, what's the chayr of the machlokes? According to Beis Shammai, pour it all out now, because if you're going to leave it hanging around, somebody might come to drink it, and it's trumah tameya. And Beis Hillel says, I'm not worried about that color. I'm going to be Yovi Akashu Shlish Vachriya Beneim Besada Tishafech Chevel or Tishafech HaKoyl. But by is the asa zilaf. It depends whether you're talking about at home or you're talking about in the field. If it's out in the field, then pour out the whole thing. Because if you're going to leave it around, people are going to say, you need an air freshener in the field. The field doesn't need air freshener. If the day happens to be a nice, beautiful day, it's going to have a nice breeze. It'll be smell great. And if the field has any fertilizer, it's going to smell awful. But you don't go and use air freshener out in the open in the field. So if you're going to leave that over, then there's no purpose in zilaf. Just pour the whole thing out. But bias, however, there you need zilaf. Occasionally, you have a bad smell in the home. And that's the zilaf, so leave it to go and do zilaf. Aha. So that's what Mishum Rabbeisi distinguishes between soda and bias. Ikriyami, another version, bechodosh tishavach chevel. If it's brand new wine, it doesn't have this ear freshener potential at this point, because it's brand new, it's like grape juice. Then just pour it out, because if you're going to hold on to it, it's going to be osili data color. Piyoshin, if it's already old wine, does a zilaf, then you can use zilaf, because I'm not worried so much about the takola. I can use the zilaf, and people will hopefully understand it's zilaf wine. Anyway, so it sounds like we should paskin like Rabbi Shmuel. Amruloy, and they said, Ein hachras, shlishis machras. In this case, the hachra is not hachra. In other words, often we do paskin like the third mandiyama, that's machriya. Here, we're not going to paskin like this mandiyama. The reason is, says Rashi, when do I say a paskin like that mandiyama? Had Beisham, I said, that both babayis and basode tishofech chevel, had Beisil said, bein babayis, bein basode, make it into zilov, says Rabbi Shmuel, I'll be machriya. That in the bias it's one way, in the soda it's the other way. In the chodesh it's one way, the yoshin is another way. However, both Beisham and Beisil didn't say a word about bias and nishbat soda and not about chodesh and not about yoshin. So therefore for Bishmol to come in and talk about these distinctions, that's his own chiddush Torah, that's not referring to that. Anyway, based on this, says Rashi, we see therefore that the machlokes between Beishamai and Beisil had nothing to do with takola. Rabbi Shmuel had to do with takola. That's why he wanted to distinguish between Chodesh and Yoshin and between Sod and Bayis. But the others, Beishamai and Beisil, shh, kindlach, kindlach, shh, maybe you go into the other room, okay? And but according to Beisham Beisil, it had nothing to do with Takola. So that you wanted to say that the halach of Takola is Beisham Beisil, no, they are not mechulik in that at all. We could theoretically stop here, but it would make more sense, I think, to just finish the perek and to finish off the whole sugya of Rav Chanina Skana Kehanim. It'll only take us another 3 or 4 minutes. Anyway, it's relatively easy. Zokti Mar Rav Yosef Rav Chanina. The machloikis that we had, the gabe, the yayin, truma up above, that is going to spill out on the chulin tmeim down below. Machloikis Reb Lezer Yeshua, that shenofel lepachas mimeya sa'a chulin tmeim. That's when it fell into less than 100 sa'a of the chulin tmeim. What is Rabbi Yosef Rav Chanina telling us? He's telling us the halacha that we're all familiar with, that when it comes to truma, you can be mevatel it not beroiv, but you can be mevatel it be meya. If you have 100 or more truma, 100 or more chulin, and one part of truma falls into it, it becomes bottle. It doesn't become bottle beroiv, it becomes bottle bemeya. And so therefore, if I have a huge gas below of tremendous gallons, the equivalent of 100 barrels full of chulin tmeim wine, and I only have one chavius of truma up above shenishbara, since one out of 101, it's going to become bottle. Everybody would agree, let it drip and drop and drop and drip, because it's not going to be metame, it's not going to cause the chulin tmeim down below to become dimua truma, because it'll become bottle. A very simple halacha. Tanya mihochi taka, a brisa, word for word, like we just said. Chavish and imishu begas, well, I know you have one chavish. V'tachtein, down below, you have mea chulin, 100 barrels of chulin tameim. Moider blazer mishu, and now everybody would agree. Shemiyachal hatzil yemena revias betahara yatzil. If you can do a betahara, that would be the best. If you love tev v'tamei v'yitamim yat, let it go down below, and we'll allow it to become bottle b'meyam. Great Gemara, I have a problem. The Braisa said moider Reb Lezer l'Reb Yeshua shemiyachal hatzil yatzil v'imlav teir v'tetama. That halach of v'imlav teir v'tetama, that was always Reb Lezer's halacha. The Reb Lezer said, let it spill, don't be metame biyadai. It was Reb Yeshua that said, insert kalim to mayim and try to go and save the chulin down below. So hi moider blazer Yeshua, moider Yeshua the blazer mi boyle. It should say to Yeshua agrees to the blazer that in this case I don't mind if the wine spills down because it's going to become bottled b'meya anyway. Omer of Eipach Rava says Yitaka right. Switch it around, not Moider Blazer Rabbi Shua, but Moider Bishua Rabbi Blazer. What Rav Huna Breid Rabbi Shua Amar Li Oilam Loi Teipach. You don't have to switch it around. Hachem Ma'iskinam Beklisha Toicha Tor the Gabay Tomei. We talk about a case where the Kli Toicha Tor the Gabay Tomei. It says Rashi. This is going not on the second case, the Imlav Teiriv Tatame. It's going on the Reisha case, where it says Moider Blazer Rabbi Shua Emiyachal Lahatzil Mimena Revias Betahara Yatzil. If you can go and save the wine above by having it drip into a kli which is tahar, go and save it. Now that's a very simple halacha, but we're adding now a level of complexity. Hachal Mayiskinen Bekli Shetoyche Tahar the Gabe Tamei. The toich was taketar, but the outside was tamei. And if the person is not an expert in the wine dripping down, some of that wine might touch the gab or the outside of the kli. If you're wondering how can you have a kli that part of it is tor and part of it is tameh, Rashi says it's talking about a keli that became tameh the mashkin midrabonan, where the mashkin was only metame the kli from the outside and not from the inside. Aha, shetoyche tor. I would have thought Nigzor, maybe Reb Lezer would say, no, don't allow for the wine to go into these kelim tohirim, because still menoga gabi betruma, because maybe some of the truma is going to touch the outside and it's going to become tamme. And remember, Reb Lezer is very streng, very machmir. Don't allow the truma tohira to become tamme. Kamash malano. That in this case, even though taka the gabi is tamme. But since the toicha is tahar, we will allow for the dripping, and that's why Reb Lezer agrees to Rabbi Yeshua. Hadlach arda ba'asar, b'lach arda ba'asar, b'lach arda ba'asar, and miyat Shem, tomorrow, Shabbos Kodesh, we begin Kol Sha'am. Barry? When should we...
When to do it whenever he needs to.
What time do you want to learn Sunday?
What would you recommend? What time did you finish davening today? Around quarter to 10 to?
Quarter seven.
And he's a good worker. Quarter to eight. So they brought him, they always
Daniel, can you mute yourself for a second, please?
But probably on Sunday you're davening at 7 o'clock. So we have to assume that we're not going to finish davening until 8 o'clock. Do you want to give people a chance to go home, or people can listen in the shul?
And he told me,
8:15.
Don't worry about the money.
8:15, Rabbi Yisai, Sunday morning, 8:15, bright and early, 8:15. Any questions? Hearing none, in Miat Hashem, everybody should have a beautiful Shabbos and a Freilich and Lechtig in Chanukah to be continued in Miat Hashem Sunday morning, Zagi Bench, 8:15. You'll send out, please, an email, yeah? Thank you.
I already did.
Wonderful. Barry, welcome back. So good to see you, Baruch Hashem, back in action. Hatzlocha, have a good Shabbos, everyone.